this day. Amen. Amen. Today our scripture is found in the letter to the Ephesian church and reading from chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. This is what God would have the writer of Ephesians to tell us on this day. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. That's important. Each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. And when it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we give ourselves over to what this scripture, in fact, is inviting us to do, let's think about what it means to be growing up in love. Growing up in love. Peter Pan probably stands as one of the classic plays and musicals of all time. Anyone who has seen it, whether it's been on stage or on television, or maybe even just read the book, will always remember Peter Pan soaring about in the air with the little fairy Tinkerbell and those kids who have their amazing encounter with young Peter. One of the most memorable scenes in the stage play and the television production is Peter convincing those kids and declaring defiantly through the song, saying, "I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up, not me." In some ways, we all wish that we could hold on to our youth. From Ponce de Leon's epic journey to discover the fountain of youth through today, there's something alluring about maintaining our youth. And yet maintaining our youth and staying young in Christ is not an option. It's an expectation of Christ and our faith that we will grow up and mature into the fullness of Christ. And Christ has taken steps to ensure that that process will happen. You see, brothers and sisters, Christ was raised to new life so that we might be raised to new life, that the glory of Christ would fill the earth and we would be filled with the spiritual gifts necessary to grow up becoming persons of God, the persons God created us to be. And I know that some of us are not sure how Christ's glory could fill the earth, nor are we real sure what God wants us to be. There are some of us who even question why God made us the way we are. Amen. But those questions we have are answered in large part by the spiritual gifts Christ has given us. You see, brothers and sisters, we are not the first to have questions about God's grand scheme or how we play into it. That's why this letter was written. It was written to give clarity to God's purpose for those of us who have been called by God to follow Christ, and to explain to us just how all of this is supposed to work. And so Paul, the alleged writer of Ephesians, has offered that each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. That was offered to us so that we would know the unlimited measure of Jesus's authority. He had the power to descend into the lower parts of the earth, which meant in their time the place of the dead, and to the throne of heaven where he would reign forever, so that no one would be left out of God's plan of salvation. And for those who are alive and yet to come, he gave us gifts from his Spirit so that we could carry out God's plan of redemption using the gifts that each of us was given to fully equip us in order to build up the body of Christ, the church. The idea is that by doing it this way, we would all come to realize the fullness of God's generosity, the significant value that we each play as members of the body of Christ, until we were fully mature, ready to offer to the world the unconditional love of God that we ourselves have received. But there was a way to do it. We would have to become single-minded in our purpose, growing in our understanding of God's grace and being willing to tell the truth to each other in love. And that's how the body of Christ, the church, was supposed to work functionally, properly, as it built itself up on the foundation of God's love, who is Jesus Christ. It sounds simple, and to some extent it is. You see, friends, we've each received a gift, a spiritual gift, that is designed to be used as an active gift of love to be shared with others. It is Christ's way of filling the world with the presence of himself. You see, when there was only Christ and Christ alone, the glory of Christ could only be found wherever Christ could be physically located. But God's design was greater than that. God's design was to fill the earth with the glory of Christ, and God chose us. God chose us as individuals and as one body, the church, to be that presence and the glory of Christ filling the earth. The University of California at Berkeley copied God's model and is a good illustration of how God does it. The University of California at Berkeley took on an impossible assignment. It agreed to coordinate an international effort to locate extraterrestrial life. And that was a daunting project because we live in an extremely large galaxy, and the multi-million dollar radio telescopes looking at it took in a lot of data. In fact, it took in so much data that was forwarded to Berkeley that no computer on Earth was powerful enough to process it all. And so to accomplish this task, Berkeley asked home computer users around the world to contact them and download a software program on their home computers that linked to a connection to another computer in California. When the work was done, the computer made another internet call to Berkeley, uploaded its results, and downloaded a new work unit. What today's largest supercomputer could never do alone, over a million ordinary home computers did quite easily. Sometimes the best way to accomplish the impossible is to harness the help of the ordinary. And this is how the church is supposed to work. God didn't intend for any one person to do all the work. No one can do it alone. But if we all do what we are called to do, using the gifts of the Spirit that Christ has given each of us, what we think is impossible becomes quite attainable. The earth and the church are filled with the glory of Christ, and the church becomes all that God intended it to be. So you see, we are God's plan to fill the earth with the Spirit of Christ. It is Christ raised to new life and Christ's gifts rising in us, giving us new life, that enables the glory of God in Christ to fill the earth. And that's how we grow up in love, becoming the people that God created us to become. That's the whole point of Christ giving us spiritual gifts. Christ gave us gifts of the Spirit so that we could grow up and mature into the people that God created us to be. And that's not an arbitrary growth that God wants us to experience. It's a growth that is grounded and founded in love. It's a growth that invites us in love to share our gifts with others so that we might all grow in maturity as people of God. It's only natural. Especially since God took the very essence of who God is, love and spirit, and shared God's self with us. Who are we then to receive the gifts that God gave us and then keep them to ourselves? Christ gave us these gifts of love so that we might share the love with others, helping others to grow and develop into the loving and giving people God has created us to be. There's a story of two boys who were in the same high school class and shared the exact same name. But beyond their name, they didn't share much else. One was an all-state athlete on his way to becoming class valedictorian with choices of six elite universities that had offered him scholarships. The other boy, by the same name, often skipped class, refused to play sports, even though he was physically gifted, and likely wasn't even thinking about college. Two very different young men headed in two very different directions. But as it turned out, both ended up going to college and did very well. And it was because the talented youth decided to invest some of his talents in the other youth by the same name. And it all added up to two successful young men. Now, if we stop and think about it, that's why God gives us the gifts we have. Not just for our own use, but to benefit the lives of the world around us. And it's a sign of Christian growth and maturity when we share what God has given us so that we can all grow and become what God has created us to be. The tragedy is that too many of us don't know what God has spiritually equipped us to do. We know what we can do naturally, and too often we think that what we do naturally in our jobs or in our hobbies is what God has gifted us to do. And because we have so many natural gifts, we struggle. We struggle and we are challenged to try and find a way to use sewing if we sew, or to use art if we draw. We seek ways to use our natural gifts, things that we've worked on and developed, things that we've grown to love and grown up doing, believing that those are spiritual gifts. But there is a difference between our natural gifts and those gifts that come from God. And don't misunderstand me. We can use our natural gifts to glorify God, but our spiritual gifts are a thing especially from God. Let me try to explain what I mean. I spent 4 to 5 years studying art, sitting in studios for 3 hours a day, drawing, sketching, learning about paint and color and theory and shade and shadow and tone and all of the things that probably mean nothing to people who aren't artists. Graduated number 2 in the School of Design at KU when I graduated in my major. But not one of those art classes I had helped me to grow up in the love of Jesus Christ. Not one drawing lesson legitimately prepared me to become the pastor of a church. No amount of sketching could explain to me what the Bible was saying. All of the drawing and painting and design classes I took never helped me to grow in my understanding of the Bible or Christ. When I wanted to understand the Bible, I was dependent upon someone higher than myself to open up the mysteries of Christ's presence and love to me. I was dependent upon the gift of Christ's Spirit to teach me what it meant to love, helping me to break down the walls of distance and fear, distrust, and protection I had placed around myself. I was given the gift of understanding Holy Scripture as a grace from God to help me to grow up into the love of Christ. And I was given the gift of understanding Holy Scripture as a grace from God to help others understand Holy Scripture and grow up in love. And I don't think any of us are that different. While each of us is different in that we each have different natural gifts, each of us are the same in that God has given us spiritual gifts to use to benefit and build up the church. How many people do you know that are gifted teachers of God's word, apostles, pastors, evangelists, prophets who came about their skill and their wisdom, growth and maturity on their own? Each of us is given a spiritual gift that we might grow up in love. And each of us is given a spiritual gift to share with others, encouraging them to grow up in love. But too often we are so busy and distracted by other things that many of us don't know what our gifts are. And we're fearful that the gift that Christ has given us may not be as valuable or as significant to others. And we settle. We settle for the stunted lives that are absent of our knowledge of the fullness of Christ blossoming inside of us. We settle for the dull and mundane lives that come from never being able to fully worship God and Christ with the gift that God has given us and with what God has created us to be and who we might become in Jesus Christ. And the tragedy is that not only do we suffer, but others whom we could be sharing our gifts with suffer, never getting to experience the fullness of Christ present in Christ's church. And we never experience the fullness of Christ present in Christ's church. And isn't that why Christ has given us these gifts? Don't we have these gifts to be used in ways that builds up the body of Christ, the church? At least that's what our scripture says. Our scripture says the gifts that he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. And yet there is still another roadblock to fully growing up in love. We're supposed to be able to tell each other the truth in love. And yet, to quote a line by Jack Nicholson in the movie A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. Or at least we have difficulty facing the truth about ourselves and our gifts, or the lack thereof, and our graces, or the lack thereof. None of us likes to be criticized or told that after giving something our best effort that we fail. No one wants to hear that. And so sometimes, rather than tell the truth in love, we remain quiet so that someone's feelings won't get hurt. Or we remain quiet because we know that a person really can't handle the truth. And after hearing the truth, they get an attitude and storm off, or they quit speaking and sometimes quit participating in the life of the church and the community altogether. And sometimes it's not what we say, but how we say it. And it's the same way when sharing the love of Christ. We can deliver the message of love with brazen arrogance, or we can deliver the message of Christ's love with gentle understanding. And there's a whole world of people who are willing to plot and scheme to get us into compromising situations to discredit us and our faith. And so for those who remember who we were and want to pull us back, we must be resolute in our faith and tell them the truth and love of who we are in Jesus Christ. We must be willing to tell those who, by every wind of doctrine, would draw us back into a web of sin and regret, that we have been born again, and invite them to discover the truth that we've discovered. And that's where our spiritual gifts come in. God has gifted some people with the ability to deliver a message with a velvet glove, while others only know how to use a sledgehammer. God has gifted some of us with the ability to break down the walls of hostility and open the doors of communication with kind words of understanding, or sometimes just not saying anything but listening to others. And yet, if we're honest, our greatest mental, emotional, and spiritual growth spurts come after we've faced the truth about ourselves and spoken that truth about a particular situation that we find ourselves in. Our greatest growth comes when we've accepted that truth and made a conscious decision to use that truth as an agent of transformation to enable change in our behavior, in our attitude, and sometimes just by how we respond to the world around us. That's why Christ calls us to grow up fully in Christ, so that we might help others grow as well. You might even call it a Christian mentoring system. And the groundwork of our growth, the foundation of our development, is love. Connecting to each other and with each other in a growing and mature relationship with Jesus Christ has as its foundation Jesus Christ. And that growth develops as we come to know what our strengths are and what our spiritual gifts are. And I'd like to say that we're off to a great start. The Committee on Nominations last year offered Living Your Strengths as a way for our church to begin growing in love and discovering who we are in Christ. What a difference it would make in the life of Christ Church if we all knew our gifts and our strengths, and could continue God's expectation that we would continue to grow up in love. Wouldn't that be a profound way for us to grow up in love, loving God and loving others using the spiritual gift that Christ has given us? So I say to you, as I sometimes have to say to myself, grow up. And I say it not as a demand but as an invitation to mature in our relationship with Christ so that the church of Christ can become what Christ envisions it to be. I say grow up so that we may become fully mature in Christ. Mature in ways which we are personally challenged to use those spiritual gifts that Christ has given us so that we can be all that Christ has called us to be. Grow up. And each day grow a little more to become living examples of Christ's love, active in service to our community. Grow up so that the church can mature and become everything that God and Christ want it to be. Grow up in love so that we can come to know the truth about God and Christ in ways that encourage us to invite all people as our neighbors to join us as committed followers of Jesus Christ. To defend our faith rather than shrink from it, deny it, or live in ways in which we clash with our faith. I say grow up in love so that we, the whole body of Christ, the church, and specifically us as individual members of Christ's body, the church, may grow and mature as the full body of Christ. I say grow up in love. So that we may be the embodiment of Christ's love in our lives and in the world, to become living examples of Christ's love present in the world. I say grow up in love so that we can maximize the spiritual gifts that we've received from the Holy Spirit, building up one another in love. And when that happens, when we're able to build up one another in love using the spiritual gifts that Christ has given us, we will have begun the maturation process into becoming the full body of Christ. Having put aside our differences in doctrine and faith and the body of Christ, the church, and the head of the church, Christ, will finally be a fully functioning body that God has called us to be. That's the word of God today for people of God.